This is about trading with yourself. The student and I, student wanted to, you know, used to play piano. So he's used to accompanying himself, you know, improvising, yeah? I'm putting words in your mouth, but, you know, you want to just not be dependent on putting them on a backing track constantly. You want to just be able to trade with yourself, like play chords and single note lines and have it be a solo guitar experience. And it brings up a lot of great topics like awareness of the form, chord voicings, rhythm, your fretboard theory when it comes to pentatonics. We're going to cover all that right now. First, the chord voicings. Right now we're only doing E minor. And you already have been doing open E minor. And then you were asking me about, well, once I go up the neck, you know, it's a struggle to get all the way back down to E minor. And I reminded you, you actually have another E minor, which is a bar chord E minor at the 7th fret. And so, as far as pentatonics go, the E shape, minor pentatonic, the open E shape, goes with the open E minor chord, as you experienced. And the A shape E minor pentatonic at the 7th fret, just catching people up, you know, who are listening to this, who didn't hear the last 5 minutes of our conversation. The when you're doing the E bar chord at the 5th string, 7th fret, that'll be the A shape minor pentatonic scale, right? And so we're doing two bars. And so we'll talk about the rhythm, how to keep your spot in a minute. But let's just play two bars of chords and two bars of lines in either place. One, two, a one, two, three. Try it where it's at the 7th fret, and you who are listening to this, do it both places, open position and 7th fret position. 1, 2, 3, 4. Before I started the recording was you're playing the chords much lighter now, which means you don't have to work as hard when you play single notes. People don't understand, like, it's normal to want to have to pick louder on the single note lines to get the same volume or intensity as the chords. But if you simply, it took me decades to learn this, and I have a video on this. It's called Balancing. I'd have to share where it is. I think it's on Ultimate Guitar. It's an article and a video on balancing the volume between chords and lines. And some smartass wrote at the bottom of my article, well, you just turn the guitar volume up. Like, yes, he's right. You could do it that way. But he's missing the point. Like, I was taught, my jazz guitar teacher taught me the volume is right here. Nowhere else. I'm pointing to my pick. Mm-hmm. So I learned over time, you know, that, and it's great for solo playing. Like, I played solo yesterday. I'm digressing because this is a topic that's dear to my heart. Like, it's taken me years to make the chords quiet enough so I can play, you know, give me a tune, like, it's, let's say, E minor, like a,
jarring to hear really, really loud strumming chords in that scenario that you just played, if it was not
Yeah.
As muted.
And more importantly, it'd be stressful for me to... And I used to do that for years. So I'm digressing on it, but you're doing well now. And then you're also already, once we started the recorder, you're much better at finding where the two bars begins and ends. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen? Well, if that hadn't happened, I was wondering how was I going to teach it to you? One of the ways you could think about it is you just count on the not even count, but feel the strong beats. Since we're talking about two bars, it's eight beats, but really it's four strong beats. And counting four or feeling four is a lot easier than feeling eight, because it's just less to keep track of. In other words, when you have 4-4, 1-2-3-4-1, the 1 is the strongest, and the 3 is almost as strong. So strong, strong, strong. With your foot, you're tapping all eight beats, which is perfectly acceptable, but you might even try tapping half notes. In other words, tap, 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 tap. Instead of all eight beats, try just tap, tap, tap. Even when you're playing lines. While the transition to that, and it's not a big deal if you don't do that. It's not a big deal if you don't. Some people don't like tapping their foot at all. Some people like you may not want to tap half notes, but I usually tap half notes, just so you know. Okay. You ever see bluegrass players? I'm digressing a little bit, but it's on point. Like they'll all play that, since the music is so fast. Generally, bluegrass is fast. It's like, I mean, I can't play bluegrass, but like it's like. Energy comes from the fast tempo. 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4-1. So my foot is only tapping 1-3-1-3-1-3. And almost all those guys, if you watch, it's just too fast to count all the beats.
Your leg gets tired.
So you might consider that. It's less to keep track of. Let's go back to E minor. It's like strong, like 1-2-3-4. Strong, strong, strong. Now, just play quarter notes. My bad. Play half notes when you get to the blowing section. So your foot and your hand will be going the same. You're going to go 1-3-1-3. Don't tap twice as fast. Just 1-3-1-3. While you're playing single notes. Mm-hmm. While you're strumming, go back to your old strum. See if your foot can still stay half as fast. Like tap, 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 tap. Better.
And just a matter of getting my nerves to do it.
Yeah, that's definitely a coordination thing that you'll have to work out. But how does it feel conceptually? Like, do you agree that it's kind of less to keep track of?
Yes, totally.
All right, good. So you could see the benefit of learning to do that. This is good. And then you asked me about, well, what about if it's more than just one chord? You know, and I said, we'll get there, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel, are you ready to, if we have two different chords?
Yeah, let's just, I mean, I again, just for simplicity, A minor would be good.
A minor's fine. So, we're doing two... So, look, if we do two bars each, then you're never going to play an A minor chord according to the way we're doing it, which is fine. But just so you would know that that's what the scenario would be like, you play E minor, two, one, two, three, and then you're soloing over the A minor, which doesn't exist. So your ear doesn't really get to hear it.
You mean that would be soloing in A minor instead of the E minor pentatonic scale?
Because we're trading twos, and our progression is two bars of E minor and two bars of A minor, you're soloing over where the A minor would be.
Oh, so I just go up to...
No, I'm not recommending you change the scales.
Oh, what were you doing?
I'm saying that you'll have to redesign... we'll have to redesign our chord structure or our trading structure to fit that.
Okay.
So, either one is fine. Let's do... We could go in both directions. Let's expand...
the two directions that you're...
The two directions would be to expand the trading to four bars instead of two. Like, let me demonstrate. Two, three, four. I'm going to solo over that. And it's nicer because we hear both chords, but it's also a little harder. Your attention span is longer. Another way to do it would be to have the chords go one bar each. And we could keep with our two-bar trading thing, but now you'll hear both chords every time. For example, this. So now that you've heard both possibilities, which one would you like to do first?
I have a question on the first one you did, where you were going... two bars of E, two bars of A minor,
okay,
and four bars of the solo,
right,
so to speak.
Okay.
Are you staying in the E minor pentatonic the whole time?
Yes, that's why I stopped you from earlier from going to A minor, because that's that's too much information.
Okay.
Not that you couldn't do it, but with all everything else going on, getting used to the rhythms and the chords and all this, too much.
Yeah.
And the simple answer, which is, when you're doing a solo in E minor and all the chords fit in E minor, most intermediate guitarists or whatever, they wouldn't switch. Like, and even if the other chord was something different, like D or whatever, they wouldn't switch to a D major pentatonic or something. That's why I don't teach that. If you don't use it, you don't do it.
Okay, that was another question. So I guess I would probably do better to start with the two bars each.
Two bars each.
And then we can see how that goes.
So now you have sort of like eight strong beats to feel. Your progression is four bars long. It's a total of 16 beats. Yeah. And you're not going to feel all those. If you're tapping in halftime, you're just feeling the ones and threes. That's eight of them. So you'll have to get the feel of that. Like, let's do it together. Like, if we do one, two, three, four, but we only tap on one and three. Don't play yet. Just one. One, two, three, four, tap, and tap, and one, two, three, four, tap, and tap. So your hand is going twice as fast as your foot. That's something that I believe is valuable to get used to. Here we go. One, two, three, four. sorry, I meant... Nice and easy. Kept your spot and the volume. How'd that feel?
It felt good. I'm, you know, getting used to the being on time. I guess the timing is usually one of the last things I try to fold in. Like I try not to worry about it too much while I'm learning how to make the shapes and all that. But obviously, it needs to get in time at some point before.
And that's yeah.
Playing with somebody else is helpful.
Yeah, and if I thought you had a big problem with that, I would get the metronome out. And you can also feel free to do this at home. You get your metronome. Most metronomes have a visual thing now, right? On your phone. Mine has like green and red and stuff. This one flashes. You can just look at it. Just look at it. And when I see two reds, I'm done with either one. Oh, I'm sorry. The red would be the first beat of each bar. And we're doing a four-bar cycle. So it would be four reds in this case. But if there are four reds, I switch from chords to lines or back or the other way. If I thought
you
needed that.
Yeah, I need to get one like that. I walk right by the guitar store like most days because I just go for walks and I'll just stop and get one.
Get one on your phone. Just download one on your phone. Do you have a metronome on your phone?
I do, yeah.
Well, you don't need it right now. I think it's nice to do it with and without the metronome. It's just when people have no idea how to count that, then they can use it as a visual aid. But I don't think that's you. You just demonstrated it. This is great. I want to go into another aspect of this whole thing, which is the fretboard thing. We talked about how the E shape minor chord, the open E minor chord, is the E shape pentatonic. I hope I'm going to show you something that blows your mind right now. We also talked about how the A shape bar chord for the E minor at the 7th fret is the same as the minor pentatonic A shape. And then here's the part that I want to blow your mind with. Every other shape, this is 2 out of 5 shapes, yeah? There's 5 shapes total. Every other shape is only one shape away from the chord. Okay, I'm going to explain. Here's the E minor shape at the open position. If we go to the 2nd fret, 4th string, we have the D shape. 4th string, 2nd fret. That's an
yes,
E note.
Right, the next E up, right?
Yep, and if you play that, that's good. Good. You're only 2 frets away from the open E minor. I'd like for you to mess around with playing the 2 chords. Just like it is. And then when you go for soloing, go right to the D shape. Still need to train yourself on it, so do it a little while. Yep. And you who are listening to this, do the same thing. Go ahead, just do it a few times. Oh, God. the idea. I'm not going to get on your case for every little thing. Yeah, now that I gave you a twist in the assignment, but it's fine. Your bandwidth is now being taken up by this other assignment of, hold on please, of playing up here, right? So if the rhythm suffers, I'm not worried about it. You probably know me by now, but I only like you guys to practice one thing at a time, know what you're practicing. I'm doing the rhythm, I'm working on the rhythm part.
Right.
I'm working on the fretboard thing. So I changed direction on you, so now I'm not worried about the rhythm. Yeah, you add a few beats here and there, but what's a few beats among friends? Haha. And besides, you're playing solo. You're not going to throw off the rest of the band.
That's right. That's the real reason.
All right. But going back to the fretboard thing, that's a pretty cool thing. You're not that far, right? Now, let's stay on the E shape. The E shape, E minor, open chord, is the same if you played it all the way up at fret 12, even though you wouldn't play a chord that high up. It's the same pattern, right? You started at fret 12, string 6. With finger one, that would be the E shape minor pentatonic, right? And so, why am I talking about that? Because just behind that, if you started with finger three, you'd be in the G shape. Yeah. Good. And so, can you see how that shape is only one shape away from, if we were in a different key, where you wouldn't have to play so high up the neck, it's that G shape is only one shape away from a big bar chord, an E bar chord. For example, let's just change.
It's like Tetris. I think of that little shape in Tetris that's like a T. That's kind of how I view the...
That's funny.
How I view it, yeah.
That's funny. Everyone has their thing. But let's say if you were in A minor, let's just change gears for a second. If you happen to be in A minor, the key of A minor, then your E-shaped bar chord would be at fret 5, and your E minor, your E-shaped minor pentatonic would be right there at fret 5. Right there, your E-shaped minor pentatonic key of A minor.
Oh, right.
Just to review what we've done, the D shape is only 2 frets up from there. So go to string 4, fret 7, and play that scale. Wait. Let's play your A minor bar chord, get ground, go back 2 frets. Notice that has 3 A's in it. Play all 3. The 6th string, the 4th string, and the 1st string. The 4th string is the one where you're going to put finger 1. And then start the scale there.